My name is Shredda, and this is The Lightner Side of Things, Practitioner Perspectives in School Psychology, a place for school psychology practitioners to come together and share experiences and insights about their work. I asked some of my school psychologist colleagues to share some tips about how to survive and thrive during the pandemic, and here's what they had to say.
First of all, get a comfortable chair. I really love this chair that I bought. I invested in it kind of at the start of the pandemic. It's comfortable, it's cozy, it's like a mini couch, and I love it. And the reason why I got it was because at the start of the pandemic, I saw that, you know, I was sitting in this really hard wooden chair, and I was so uncomfortable and kind of cranky at the end of the day after sitting in front of my laptop all day. So I bought a chair, and I love it. It just makes me feel so cozy. Sometimes it's not always so great when I, you know, have to get down to work and I'm enjoying feeling cozy, but it does kind of relax me when I'm feeling stressed.
I think my number one tip was to create structure where you can. And then I was trying to think about how that played out in my life and my job and everything while like through the pandemic. So kind of what I was thinking through with that was, you know, there's so many things are up in the air and so many things are moving that, you know, create a schedule that you can try and stick to. That was something that was really helpful with whether it was counseling or even just putting calendar reminders to check in with or a parent or a student, things like that. It was really helpful to have a schedule that was already set.
I think my first tip is really to be thoughtful about what boundaries are right now. During this time of hybrid and remote learning environments, I think being aware of your boundaries is an important self-care practice. It seems like it's easier now more than ever to find yourself in virtual meetings before and after work in an effort to kind of be responsive to people's needs and you know, our communities. And it's easy to be responding to emails while you're spending time with family and allowing your workday tasks to roll right into your at-home time. So I think it's just important to kind of recalibrate what your work and home life boundaries are, and whether it's finding some time that you normally would be doing like a soul-sucking commute to take that time and dedicate it to a walk or something to do more mindfulness practices. I think those things are important. Finding ways to maybe use the do not disturb settings on your phone, anything to kind of set those boundaries to keep work as part of work and home as part of home. I think that's something that we all need to just be a little bit more thoughtful of right now, since the lines can be blurred when we're working virtually.
I think one of the things that I have done consistently is taking a walk every day. And I know that sounds simple, but I think getting out of the house, getting into fresh air, and ending my day with that has just been really powerful for me, because I think it takes me to a different space. I turn my computer off, I put my son in the stroller, and we walk, right? I don't really think about much when I'm walking. I don't think about the pandemic. I don't think about the stressors with our job. I don't think about what's coming tomorrow. I just walk for like a mile, mile and a half. So that's part of my self-care. And I think working at home or working in a hybrid model, or even if you're back in the schools, I think we have to do things that help us have a boundary between our jobs and our real lives, because I think that we are burning ourselves out doing the work that we're doing. But we need to recognize that, you know, the work will always be there.
Another thing, I was kind of thinking of structure, kind of sticking to those boundaries that you set for yourself, which this one is really hard with, you know, try not to check emails after work to create some of that space for yourself. Saying no when you have a lot on your plate, same as when you're in the building, but also asking for help when when you're feeling overwhelmed?
Definitely becoming more familiar with Google. So I've had a lot of time to, you know, learn all the new features of Google, that being Google Docs, Google Slides, Google Sheets. And there are some pretty cool things on there that I didn't know about before the pandemic. So one thing in particular that I thought was really cool was there's a feature that you can link to. And I know this sounds silly because people might be thinking like, well, you know, of course you can link, but you can link to other documents that you have within a document. So if I have a spreadsheet of like all of the counseling sessions that I want to do, I can link out to the specific PowerPoint that I have. And it just makes it so much easier. And I just feel like I've been so much more organized because of these Google features. And even within a Google Slides presentation, I can link from one slide to like three slides ahead. And it just makes for a much more interactive experience, like in what I've seen with my students. So like I can give an example. The other day I made a presentation for a social skills session, and I kind of made this presentation where my student was able to pick out his conversation with like a pretend character. So based on which thought bubble or conversation bubble he clicked on, that changed the way that the character responded. And it was just kind of like this series of events with all these different links and chains within the presentation. And I thought it was really cool. I was so proud of myself. So that's been really fun to explore. And I think that it could be helpful for other psychologists too, who are willing to kind of do that digging into the Google world.
I had a thought this morning that came up because I was listening to, you know, everyone's talking about self-care now. I've started listening off and on to the Daily Calm app, that mindfulness app. And this morning's reflection was on this idea of perfectionism. And it made me really think about perfectionism in the role of school psychologists. And I don't want anybody to think I'm saying like we need to be not paying attention to ethical principles or good scientific practice. But I think right now, the old ideas of what's perfect as a school psychologist might need to be recalibrated to what's good enough in this moment, because there's so much that hasn't been solidified when it comes to the science behind our assessments. There's so many of us, I think, aren't feeling comfortable with telework, whether that's a district that's using teleassessments or a place that's using teletherapy services. So I think those ideas of what it means to be perfect are something that we all need to reflect on too. Like, what's good in this moment, given what's happening in our communities and what's happening in the world today? We have to be responsive as best we can, but kind of the old rules aren't totally thrown out by any means. But I think we just might need to look at recalibrating what it means. It kind of, to me, it feels weird to put all these disclaimers on our report on, oh, this wasn't quite standardized because we're using plexiglass shields, we're sitting a distance apart, and we're wearing masks. But that's the world we're in right now. That's the response to the pandemic. So I think we just have to be thoughtful about what it means to be perfect, what it means to be doing the best you can, given what's going on in our communities.
Routines. I've tried to wake up at around the same time every day to like start my day, have breakfast, have my coffee, so that I'm ready for the day. And the routine of that, I feel like, has definitely helped. Thinking of self-care and being mindful and planful about that. And sometimes for me, that looks like actually taking a lunch break and, you know, closing my laptop and maybe watching like a 20-minute show on Netflix and just like, you know, just not think about work and taking that time that I'm not focused on something. Or if that's taking a break in the afternoon, making a cup of tea and, you know, answering my emails from the couch. That has gone a long way, you know, when I don't have any meetings to be able to sit on the couch with a cup of tea and write my reports. I've actually come to enjoy that a lot.
I feel like now that all of our communication pretty much is limited to email, just to remind yourself that not to take things personally, I feel like messages are often miscommunicated in email and unintentionally. So I just have to remember that, you know, people are just trying to get through their day one computer screen at a time, and it's not always easy. And, you know, it's, people are gonna type things that might not always come off as friendly as they intend. So I, you know, I've been reminding myself of that too, which hopefully others, you know, with that reminder, they can get through their day a little bit easier.
Structuring time with peers and with friends, and especially now, it's been nice to have our happy hours or times when we can be together as coworkers and also as friends and just be together and talk about the stuff that's going on, but know that we're all going through it together. And that's been super helpful. And sometimes we talk about work and sometimes we talk about personal stuff, but just to know that those people are there for you to talk with after hours, as friends and coworkers, has been life-saving. And then I guess to tie it all together, be okay when things change and, you know, be flexible. So create structure when you can, but it's going to change and it's not always going to be able to be adhered to, but you have to be okay with being flexible, things changing. To quote my good friend, Alice Lee, who's also featured on this podcast, she always told me in grad school that, you know, things always get done. It always gets done. So, you know, do your best, put in structure where you can, be okay with flexibility, things not going how they're supposed to, but things always get done. And, you know, we're doing our best. We're professionals and we're doing our best at our job. And in that case, it usually gets done. And usually it is, like, we have pretty high standards for ourselves. So it's usually a pretty good job.
And I think another survival tip for me is, we know as school psychologists what isolation does to our mind and our body, right? Like, we know the mind-body connection is so real. So we need to practice some of that for ourselves too, right? Like, we need to recognize that there are impacts on our mental health living in this pandemic for the last 7 months. You know, I think the election is going to bring out a lot of feelings for a lot of us. And I think we need to be prepared for whatever emotion we're going to feel and just know that we are all pretty resilient, whether or not it feels that way. And trust me, some mornings when my son is screaming at 5 a.m., I don't feel resilient at all. But I think it's just constantly reminding ourselves that we will make it through somehow or the other. But just also, just do one thing in a day, as small as it might be, to take care of yourself, because otherwise you're not going to be able to do your job. You're not going to be able to be present at home. So that's the only survival tip I really have, because I think we're all kind of running out of options at this point.
Thank you so much for listening to The Leitner Side of Things. If you have any feedback or topic ideas, let me know on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @SGERA99. See you at the next episode.